Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batzer with Michael Vlahos. I am Gaius. He is Germanicus. And we turn to the theme of regicide, the death, the murder, the assassination, the conspiracy against the king. It is a topic that Shakespeare made a lot of money with. However, it's also real. For example, Charles I, arrested by the Scots after a battle loss, turned over to the Puritans, and executed January 30th, 1649, cut off the head of a king. It was a shock even to the people who condemned him. Some years later, his son, Charles II, returned following the death of Cromwell. Cromwell's son was not able to bear being Lord Protector, which was a ersatz kingship, and quit the post soon afterwards. The forces in Europe reinstalled Charles II, and the crown returned to the Stuart family. However, there was work to be done. All the regicides had to be found and dealt with. One of the regicides was Oliver Cromwell. How inconvenient he was dead. However, the order was given from Whitehall, 2,000 rooms, higgledy-piggledy. The order was given to dig up Cromwell's body, to cut off the head, and display it outside Whitehall for 20 years. The regicides fled as far as America, I understand. Five of them made it to America. They were all sought, hunted, and perished, all of them. Germanicus, regicides. We talked last week or the week before that if you go after the king, you must kill him. And if you don't, the formula continues, he will kill you. I read from the Financial Times. None of the top 20 law firms in the U.S. have so far offered their, quote, unconditional support to an effort by Perkins Coie to fight sanctions imposed by the Trump administration. Further, we learn that of the top 100 law firms by billing in the United States, only three have gone along with resisting the Trump administration seeking to punish, humiliate, and break the law firms who participated in any fashion whatsoever, in the attempt to remove him from office 2017 to 2019. Regicide. Right now, the question is, how far is Mr. Trump going to go? What is your instinct, Germanicus?
I think the outlines are there right now in terms of the path ahead. Just as it was in a slightly inflected way during the Biden administration, when they attempted to do the same thing to Mr. Trump. And in fact, going back to Hillary Clinton, and in 2016, there has been an attempt to kill the king, and that has essentially brought the U.S. into a kind of civil war fought out not just in the courts, but in all of the paraphernalia surrounding the courts, as well as mob instigations of various kinds, going back to the summer of 2020, there has been a struggle between the curial class, which is kind of what the Roman Republic was all about, the senatorial class, the elites that ran the Republic when they didn't like a leader. And of course, in that period, right before the end of the Republic, the leaders were not an executive that resembled remotely a king. It was just a annual consulship, and there were two of them. But nonetheless, if a leader emerged that seemed to threaten the hold of the curial class and its interests, they would create mobs, including themselves, and kill the popular leader. And this was true of the Gracchi brothers, Marius. It was true of Caesar when he was assassinated. And the fact is that once you have this kind of struggle, there has to be an outcome, and there has to be a path for succession. And the curial class has to be culled and brought back into some form that will support the executive. And this is what is going on now. And the struggle between Mr. Trump, who has become the popular leader, who resembles the Roman executive, but we have to remember that the imperial office has been has held sway, shall we say, in the U.S. since the period of Woodrow Wilson, and then renewed by FDR. So we've had a quasi-imperial presidency for 100 years, and so there is a constant struggle potentially between the curial class and the presidency, and that was mitigated by having two elite parties. And so there was still an opportunity to have mediation and conflict resolution between the two in the form of, you know, boisterous elections and the like. But things changed in the emergence of Mr. Trump. And they changed dramatically in that the Democrats, blue, was unwilling to accept the new president in 2016 as legitimate. And so they essentially embarked upon a kind of legal civil war. And as a top faction within a blue, led by the former president, Mr. Obama, led by Mrs. Clinton, by Mr. Biden, and a large faction around them, they sought to essentially kill the king, the other king, and to basically seize the reins of government and keep their emperor by claiming a new dynasty, and that failed, and yet by creating this kind of civil war situation, and by not letting it go, it's now quite clear that they're going to be dealt with as well. In other words, it's not possible to sustain a situation in a context where both parties believe that the other party is illegitimate, and where they've done so through the vehicle of identifying the emperor as somehow the threat that has to be done away with, even though the American tradition of the last century has been to have an emperor and to switch back and forth between parties, that all ended. So in a sense, it isn't like the end of the Roman Republic, in that you have a senatorial class running the society, and then suddenly you have an imperial office. This is more messy. This is a situation where you have a republic that is no longer functioning. You also have an imperial office, and by trying to take down an emperor, you're essentially trying to take down the man who is the popular leader. Again, that resembles situations in the Roman Republic, but it's more acute. And there's no real resolution until the perpetrators who began this war back in 2016 are purged. And that is essentially what has to happen. Not because anyone approves of it. Certainly, we don't. We see that the conflict is destructive and pulls the country apart, and yet that conflict has reached a point in its unfolding where it must be resolved, and it cannot be resolved through mediation or through the kind of norms that once governed American politics. And so you're seeing, sadly, tragically, the emergence of a revised American constitutional order is the only way I can put it politely.
The law firms, the top 100, the top 20, are they doing the wise thing, seeking terms?
They are the major standard bearers, and I use that in the Roman sense. They are the legatus of the war effort of blue. And as such, it's a little bit like Aesop's vignette about the trumpeter who is at the mercy of the enemy. And he says, I didn't take up arms against you. I simply blew the trumpet. And there's no escape once you have gotten, if you're in a war, which I would argue we have been in, then you can't say, as these law firms would prefer, oh, we were just doing our job. In essence, they chose to take up arms. They were the major force in trying to defenestrate and execute the emperor. And so now they will have to pay the price. And again, this isn't something that is morally propelled. It is simply what happens in a war. That's how you know it is a war. I mean, you can say the same thing about purges that occurred in other revolutions and the kinds of civil wars that had armies involved. This one is not like those in its form, but it is in its substance. So they are going to have to submit, and this is what the curial class does when a new emperor comes in. If they've been scheming against the emperor, some of them will be held to mortal account. Others will swear allegiance to the new emperor. Then this has always been the way.
It is observed that Charles II's time in office, 1661 to his sudden death in 1685, was successful because he sought revenge. Do you believe that?
Revenge is a tricky tool. There has to be an authoritative demonstration, not out of vindictiveness, but out of necessity, because the act of revenge itself is the badge of authority. In other words, your authority flows from the fact that as a leader, you're willing to wreak vengeance politically on your opponents in order to cement your authority with the people. And many of the people who support you, the new king or emperor, want you to show your capacity to do this. On the other hand, you cannot be bloodthirsty and you cannot take justice too far. In other words, you can undo your position by pursuing a kind of bloody-mindedness, as Cromwell did, for example. You have to be able to temper that, and that's a fine art of political balancing. So, yes, revenge or vengefulness as a pragmatic political instrument is absolutely necessary, but so is restraint and eventually mercy and all that follows from that. So you see this throughout antiquity and also the Middle Ages. also the modern era. I mean, the very best leaders, whether they're kings or something else, are able to balance a kind of harsh justice with a condign mercy.
Speaking to Germanicus, we're talking of regicide. It will be a continuing topic. It's a slow business right now. It will accelerate. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. We're turning to a little detail about Cicero. I'm going to check with Germanicus whether he hears what I hear about Cicero when he condemned Catiline. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Riley Herbst from 2311 Racing here, and you know what grinds my gears? Waiting for coffee. But instead of counting frappes and lattes, I fire up Chumba Casino. No apps, no fuss, just fun social casino games to pass the time. By the time my coffee's ready,
order for Riley.
I've already taken a few victory laps. Next time you're stuck waiting, make it entertaining. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.